This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station. We here at WSMI, along with many of you, are mourning the loss of our good friend Ralph Niehaus, known to most as Uncle Ralph. But we're also celebrating his life. For over 60 years, Ralph farmed. He also worked at Graham Correctional Center, and for the past two decades was a part of our WSMI family. Ralph and I hosted the Wednesday talk show for many years. He helped out on some basketball broadcasts, and of course, he was a regular on the Sports Saturday program, a program he sometimes referred to as Sports Insanity. We had many discussions on many different subjects with Uncle Ralph over the years, and he would frequently talk about the best decision he ever made.
Best decision I ever made was made on August 8th, 1953, when I asked my wife Helen if she would be my bride and share living on the farm with me, and so that, without a doubt, was the greatest day of my life and one of the best decisions that I ever made.
Ralph wore many hats. He knew just about everyone and lived life to its fullest, and we will definitely miss his witty banter. I suppose that as Ralph arrived at the pearly gates, he was ready with a joke, and knowing Uncle Ralph, the joke probably made the angels blush. For WSMI, I'm Terry Tote.
It's all about M-O-N-E-Y.
There you go, right there. What a man.
What a guy. How we miss him.
Oh.
My goodness. My goodness. But we are celebrating Uncle Ralph.
Yes, and that's how he would have wanted it. I mean, he was that type of guy.
And we would talk about this once in a while, and that's a subject people don't talk about, but he would talk about that once in a while. He says, hey, you know.
He wasn't afraid to talk about
it. No, absolutely. He says, no grieving, he says. It's time to celebrate. So
and lot to celebrate.
Oh, I tell you
about Uncle Ralph.
I tell you, we have some terrific stories, some of which we cannot share on the air.
Most of which,
most of which we cannot share on the air.
You know, I think that's the unique thing to me about Uncle Ralph, though. Everybody knows him from being on WSMI,
right.
But yet people knew him long before he was ever on WSMI. It was just kind of he was such a unique guy, and I know it's been said before, but they really did break the mold with Uncle Ralph. I mean, I've never met anybody like Uncle Ralph.
And Ralph was so involved in so many different civic aspects, and like you said, Tim, it really wasn't until the last, you know, nearly 20 years that he kind of hooked up with us, and he became the Uncle Ralph that we know on the radio and had a lot of good time. The thing about Ralph that I remember the most, and I'm gonna tell a story here on Tobin. Can I do that, Tobin? Is that okay?
Go ahead.
Okay. Well, and Tobin does it. By the way, Tobin does a great job of PA work for Hillsborough.
He
really
does.
But opening night.
His first night ever.
First night ever. You know, and you're a little nervous. And I've been there and done that. Trust me. I've been there and done that. But Ralph was sitting next to me at Hillsborough the night that Tobin, and I think the first game was Nokomis Hillsborough.
I had a double impact.
Tobin introduced
Nokomis.
Nokomis Redskins, and for some reason everybody that started was 6'10 that night. then he introduced Hillsborough, and as we cut away for a commercial break, Uncle Ralph leaned over to me and says, 6'10. We're screwed. And then, no sooner than that, we're back on the air, so you don't even have time to recover. You're laughing. You know? And he did that here almost every week. We were just busting a gut. And he'd take it right up to the mic's open.
His
timing
was always impeccable.
Just impeccable.
And
just
sometimes
impeccable.
He'd take it right up to that point where the mic was already open, and you catch like the tail of like, what was that? Eh, don't worry about it. That's just Uncle Ralph being... You know, you always heard the phrase, Manny being Manny?
Yes.
Well, Uncle Ralph being Uncle Ralph was really a sight to behold.
And people would ask me, well, what are you guys laughing about? I said, you have to wait for the director's cut,
right.
Okay?
Yes.
So,
I remember
when
I first started here and hearing Uncle Ralph thinking, Uncle Ralph? I think I even asked somebody, whose uncle is he? Like, he's everybody's uncle. He's everybody's favorite uncle. Like, oh, okay, I get it.
Yeah.
Like, I remember at first, I didn't even feel comfortable calling him Uncle Ralph.
Really?
Like, no, I was like, I don't know about that. But then after I got talked to him a few times, it's like, now it's weird just to call him Ralph.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It's just all Uncle Ralph.
Just Uncle Ralph.
I could never even refer to him as Ralph, really.
Yeah.
It was always Uncle Ralph. And I believe I told people, about how he wasn't necessarily doing well, and they were like, well, who's Uncle Ralph? It's like, oh, well, you know.
How do you
know? He's
Uncle
Ralph, so.
Yeah. And the thing of it is, here, since he was with the radio station a few years, more and more people did call him Uncle Ralph out in public. You know, it was always Uncle Ralph and that sort of thing. So, boy, he was a character.
Oh, he was.
And I if I can share one of my precious moments with Ralph that I really, really treasure to this point. Back when the Hillsborough girls in 2006, they won the state tournament. The following year, they had everybody back pretty much, you know, that core group. And they went to the Highland Tournament, and they played Totopolis for the championship. One of the greatest games we ever saw in my entire life. It was just one of those, you know, classic top 10 games ever for the championship. Hillsborough won it, and Ralph was sitting with me, and we had a blast. We had, and boy, did we see some great basketball in that game. And that's one of those really precious, precious times that I can remember. Of just Ralph and I being together, broadcasting a ball game, and, you know, seeing two really great programs going at it.
And how ironic, tonight, Hillsborough-Litchfield play each other, girls' basketball, and it's one of the one of his favorite subjects that he always wanted to talk about. And I've got permission from the school district tonight, if the game happens, weather permitting, that they are going to do a little moment of silence in tribute to Uncle Ralph. Yeah. So
that's very good.
Yeah. I think his impact, though, you wait till it gets warmer. How many pork chops that man has grilled over the years that helped out the civic organizations, not only in Hillsborough, but in Montgomery County in general.
Now, and what was it, almost, maybe even 8 years ago, doctor told him, no more.
Right.
Quit.
Forget that.
Forget that.
No way.
I'll just cut back a little bit. We'll only do, you know, like 25 of them instead of 26.
So it's just a suggestion.
Yeah, 2,500 instead of 2,600.
There a couple of things that I'll always remember about Uncle Ralph. I don't remember the show that it was, but I know it was in here on one Saturday morning. I don't remember what we were talking about, but he made some comment about back in the day, the boys from Butler and Hillsborough sneaking in the cover of darkness over to Litchfield and raiding the girls. I remember that. It was so funny.
He says, and I think it still happens.
And I think it still happens. As only Uncle Ralph could say. And the other one that I always loved from him, he would always meet up with his old war buddies. They'd go down to Moonlight. He always loved Moonlight. Go down there, enjoy that. But he'd always say, going to fight the war again.
Well, you know, this last year he went to the Korean reunion that he went to with his Korean War buddies, and he came back and he says, well, that's the last one. He says, we've decided not to meet anymore because we're losing too many members. And I think it really hurt the fact that they were not, they were down to maybe a half a dozen people, and so many of them at their age were not able to travel. So
the last time that Uncle Ralph was on Sports Saturday, it was the first Saturday of the year. We were out at Cranny Mac at the Donnie Burton Memorial Quail Hunt. And a conversation came up that day about the great Taylorville basketball team. And Tara, I'll let you lead into it.
Well, we talked about great basketball teams and great programs. And of course, Taylorville that year went undefeated and won 45 games. Just absolutely incredible. And Ralph was there. It was his era. And this is our conversation, or the conversation Ralph had about the Tornadoes team.
Yeah, I was a sophomore when those guys did that, and Warren Bontemps, boy, what a pair of basketball players they were in that era, 1944, and what a record, 45-0. And keep in mind that in those days, you played everybody. There was no classes.
Right.
You played a school that was twice as big as you was. You played a school that was twice as small as you was. And I kind of got acquainted with Johnny past tense because, as you all well know, the Hillsborough girls play in the Taylorville tournament in the early fall. It's kind of a kickoff tournament. And he was always there until the last couple of years when his health failed him. And always was willing to reminisce about that ball club. And Dolph Stanley was the coach, and they went on to play at Beloit, I believe it was.
Yeah, Beloit and Iowa State.
And then, of course, Johnny was he coached Michigan, I believe, and then went to Iowa State, who was at that time was nothing, and made a college power, so to speak, out of Iowa State. But what a great athlete. And when you think back of winning 45 straight games, you know, and that took them all the way through the state tournament. Those guys were just so smooth just to watch them. And I sat around this morning trying to think of some of the other guys that were on that team. It was all you heard about was Oren Bontemps.
If you ever go up to the state basketball tournament, go into the experience, you know, they have a nice display of all the state champions and some of what they consider to be the greatest teams. And I think it's pretty much a unanimous consensus, as far as I can tell, that the greatest team in the history of Illinois is those Dalton Thornridge teams with Quinn Buckner. Are you of the belief maybe that that Taylorville squad is the best basketball team the state of Illinois has ever seen?
Well, Tim, I would have to lean towards them because that was the era that I grew up in. But, you know, people later on, you can talk about other ball clubs and stuff that came along and what they did. But 45-0 and
kind of speaks for itself.
For itself. And that's, again, I reiterate, you played everybody. If a school had 1,000 kids in it, you played. If it had 100 kids in it, you played them. And if I had to vote, I'd vote for that Taylorville team as the best.
The great Uncle Ralph. And you think about the advancements that he saw during his life. You know, because he was a farmer back in the day, and how much that evolved over the course of how much high school athletics evolved from the time he was playing to now.
From the farming standpoint, from a horse-drawn plow that he used to walk behind to the modern equipment. And you know, I think one of the big things that Ralph was just absolutely amazed at was the arrival of girls' sports in high school and how the all-girls sports have progressed tremendously in the last two decades. To the point where it's, you know, they're very, very good at, he was always amazed on how well girls sports, and in particular basketball, because I think he really loved basketball a lot. And he was he says, well, he would ask me every once, well, do you think the teams are better now than they were 10 or 15 years? Absolutely. Yep. You know, they all play defense now. They all know what the plays that they're running. They're not just standing out there in one spot or what, you know, sitting in a zone. They do a lot of different things now. So, yeah.
I have a couple of things with Uncle Ralph that I'll never forget. Now doing the Wednesday talk show with Uncle Ralph, whenever Mickey Robinson was in, those two were like cats and dogs. Mm-hmm. You never knew what they were going to say, but it was like Abbott and Costello, because it was like you never knew what you were going to get. And the other one, I will always take this with me with him. He was honored, I believe it was like a couple years ago, by the Hillsborough Sertoma Club as their Man of the Year or Sertoman of the Year. And he had to give a speech. And I'm sitting at the table with County Clerk and Recorder Sandy Lighthizer, State Senator Sam McCann, Rita Frazier at the time was at the table with us, and Uncle Ralph looked out and he saw family members and that, and he went into Uncle Ralph mode where he's like, where are you going to take us? And we were looking at shaking our heads about what the heck just happened, but he enjoyed every minute of it, and I wish I would have had that speech. I tried to find it today or for this. I didn't have it, but you know, when he was in his mode,
He could entertain.
Oh, absolutely,
like no other. And he was, and he really was. I think he was a pretty modest guy. You know, like if you tried to talk about him to him about the good things he did, he's just going to deflect it right back and say something different. But he did so much for Montgomery County that, I mean, he will truly, truly be missed by everyone.
Well, and we talk about his participation here on the sports show, but it's him holding court before the sports show on Saturday mornings that really generate a lot of memories.
Yes, if you knew Uncle Ralph, you've heard his joke, so you know that we can't say him on the air. But I told him for years, you got to write these down, Uncle Ralph. I said, you're going to be gone someday, and we need these jokes to live on. Oh, he was such a great guy.
He was
a great guy.
You know, and it would do anything for you.
Yes,
he
would.
One of those kind of guys, and wasn't afraid to help out. And the thing with Ralph was you didn't really have to ask. He would volunteer most of the time.
That's right. Genuine.
Yeah.
Yeah. 100% genuine.
Very proud of the Montgomery County Cancer Association, yes. Mm-hmm. And the tremendous effort that they put together and the money that they raised for residents in Montgomery County. He was a huge, huge part of that. So, yeah.
I remember emceeing that their birthday party with him, and before we went on stage, he's like, "Now don't screw up now." I'm like, great. Here we go. And he puts his arm around me and it's like, "Now does this look like two faces made for radio?"
And I remember one day somebody was asking Ralph and I, says, "Well, you know, are you..." Somehow we had a little deviation in programming or something, and somebody says, "Well, when are you guys going to get back to normal?" And Ralph says, "Well, Terry, you and I have never been considered normal." You know, I said, "Well, that's very true. You know, normal doesn't fit our mode here." So
no, it does not.
No, so we certainly miss Uncle Ralph, but we're going to continue to celebrate his memory, and he was a big part of the show. We will certainly miss him, and we have a chair over there that's open, and our guests in the future will be able to sit in Ralph's throne.
That's exactly right. Yeah. So Uncle Ralph gone at the age of 84, but will never be forgotten. We're going to take a break. Uncle Ralph would want us to talk about sports sometime today.
Yeah,
so
sometime today.
We'll take a break. We'll come back, and we'll talk sports after this.
B-Dry Waterproofing Solutions is a full-service waterproofing company serving the greater St. Louis and Metro East area. B-Dry specializes in basement, crawl space, and foundation peering solutions. B-Dry has been satisfying customers for over 50 years and provides free initial consults and estimates, as well as excellent service with a lifetime transferable warranty. So if your home is in need of a waterproofing solution, call B-Dry at 1-800-966-2379 or go to bdry.com.
Kurt's 24-hour heavy and light-duty towing has moved to the Goodyear building behind Denny's in Litchfield. Kurt's has commercial Goodyear tires and complete exhaust, and now is a Hertz car rental agency. And, of course, heavy and light-duty towing. Kurt's crew cab rollback can transport your family and your car. Kurt's 24-hour towing can tow anything from your semi to your motorcycle. When you need a tow, remember 324-2400. Kurt's 24-hour towing in Litchfield. Remember 324-2400.
And at 9:21, let's take a look at the weather forecast brought to you by Parrott's Frozen Foods in Hillsboro. It's the home of the Big Porky. Cloudy skies for today with a mix of rain, freezing rain, and sleet. We'll have a high today from the upper 30s. Partly cloudy skies and colder for tonight. There is a chance for snow, sleet, and freezing rain for tonight. Expect a low tonight of in the teens. Heading into Sunday, partly cloudy skies and colder. Expect a high of around 20 degrees. A winter advisory, now keep in mind, is in effect until 6 o'clock tonight. Extended look at the forecast Monday through Wednesday. Partly cloudy skies. It will be colder. Snow is likely on Tuesday evening. Expect highs in the teens. Lows will be around zero. Welcome to winter. It's 9:22. Our temperature reading at this time is 37 degrees. And the weather forecast is brought to you by Paris Frozen Foods in Hillsboro. It's the home of the Big Porky. Sports Saturday continues right after this.
GameZone Plus has it all, whether you want to buy, sell, trade, rent, or repair. You need to think of GameZone Plus in Nokomis. GameZone Plus has computers, laptops, tablets, movies on Blu-ray and DVD, video games and accessories, TV and musical instruments. And remember, shop local. Shop GameZone Plus in Nokomis. Open Monday through Friday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. and 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. on Saturday.
One thing customers tell us they like best about banking with the Real Community Bank is our people. This professional and often personal relationship helps us do our jobs better, more efficiently, and effectively. Not just when it comes to your borrowing money, but also when you need to consider long-term savings and investment needs. So next time you're considering a financial transaction, visit your hometown bank you can trust since 1932. Security National Bank, with locations in Witt, Coffeen, Irving, and Fillmore. And online at securitynb.com. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Farming doesn't follow an 8 to 5 schedule. A slow week is 60 to 80 hours. My land, livestock, and family rely on me. That's why I bought farm insurance from Auto Owners Insurance, because every policy comes with a local agent, a real person who lives right in my community, who I can rely on to keep my farm covered no matter what.
See the Bruce Webb Insurance Agency in Farmersville or Raymond.
B
BR Virtual Sports in Hillsboro has everything you need to have a great time. And it's not just for kids, it's for adults. Virtual sports include hunting, golf, car racing, spinning bikes, batting cages, air hockey, and pool. Call 556-8558 for tee times. Memberships and hourly rates are available. BR Virtual Sports for the child in all of us. Located on School Street across from Vogel Lumber in Hillsboro. Like them on Facebook.
And at 9:24, it's Sports Saturday, brought to you by Prairie Farms Dairy in Carlinville. Taste the homemade goodness of Prairie Farms. By Bruce Webb Insurance in Farmersville and Raymond. By Alan Pogenpohl, your country financial agent in Raymond. By Security National Bank, with locations to serve you in Witt, Coffeen, Irving, and Fillmore. By B-Dry Waterproofing Solutions, serving central and southwestern Illinois. Contact B-Dry at 1-800-966-2379 or at bdry.com. By the Huff Funeral Homes in Raymond, Farmersville, and Hillsboro. By Kurtz 24-Hour Heavy and Light Duty Towing of Litchfield. By Hillsboro Area Hospital, your front door to a world of healthcare. By BR Virtual Sports in Hillsboro, and by the Game Zone Plus in Nokomis. Once again, here are the guys. It's Tim Mize, Terry Tote, and David Jenkins.
Tobinat, thank you very much. Back on WSMI Sports Saturday, and into sports we go. Full night of basketball action last night, and we had a good one here on FM 106.
You had a terrific game on FM 106 last night with Litchfield at Vandalia. Always tough to win on the road in the South Central Conference, and the Panthers apparently banged up a little bit.
Down a couple of starters. Cooper Scharf suffered an ankle injury, I think, Wednesday night, working on his own, getting extra work in, hurt his ankle. Apparently not good for Cooper. No reports yet, but not sounding good. Yeah. And Austin Chamberlain hurt the AC joint in his shoulder, so he is out. So Litchfield loses two starters Wednesday night, Thursday night. You got to roll into Vandalia on Friday night. Never an easy place to play. I don't care what the Vandals' record is. Always tough on their home floor. And I thought Litchfield, to me, Terry, was one of those games. If Litchfield makes noise in the playoffs and get their injured guys back, this will be the type of game that propelled them. Because you had kids. Ryan Crabby comes to mind. He was starting early in the year, kind of saw his minutes dwindle a little bit in the middle part, but he didn't hang his head.
Right.
You know, he stuck to it. He was ready. Last night, he got the start, knocked out a couple of big shots, I think had 13 points. And you never know when your number might get called.
And the thing about Litchfield, they have so many different weapons. And it's kind of like the girls' team. I mean, they have a lot of different weapons, and they can come to you in a lot of different ways. And if somebody's not hitting one night, you know, you'll bring somebody else off the bench. And Drew does a great job of substituting and matching things up for the Panthers. And this is a big win for the Purple Panthers last night.
Last night, Alex Hull came out, hit three triples right in a row, bing, bang, boom in the first quarter. And that really settled Litchfield. And when you're down a couple of guys, when your best player comes out early and puts a couple of balls in the basket, it just kind of calms everybody down.
Yeah, players will feed off that. And I believe, speaking to their depth, I think at least four times this season they've had four guys in a game score double figures. It may be more than that, but it's at least four times. So
And they're quick. They play good defense. They can score in many different ways. And you know, they were behind the eight ball from the get-go. So Litchfield has really had a pretty good season here.
And that was the conference game last night. Even though they had beaten Vandalia easily in Litchfield in December, that was not the conference game. Last night was the conference game. So you factor that in, on the road, conference game, down two starters, you get the W. Now they are really in a nice position to win the league. But they've got a tough stretch to finish up here.
Well, I think there shouldn't be any other way.
No, that's right.
You know, looking ahead for Litchfield, and the Panthers even have some tough non-conference contests coming up.
They got
up
Lincoln
as well.
With a non-conference, I know.
North Mac is coming North up. Mac. Yet,
I believe North Mac is how they finish out the regular season.
Yeah. So that I think that's the last Friday night game we have on the radio on the regular season is the North Mac game. So Purple Panthers. Tough stretch, but you know, a lot of people, basketball, this, that. I think basketball is up, boys and girls basketball, both up in the area. I think I don't know about you, Tim, but I think most every game we've had on the radio this year, going all the way back to football, we've had some pretty good ball games on the radio. So.
It's been quite the year.
It really has been. It really has been a nice year for our high school sports teams and some good matchups. So the Purple Panthers went at 58-53 last night at Vandalia. Vandalia, you know, going all the way back years ago when they hosted the sectional, such a great venue, Vandalia High School. The people at Vandalia, like many schools around here, are great hosts when it comes to
I've tournament. Always liked that gym.
Yeah, that's a nice gym.
That's where my high school career came to an end.
Yeah.
Throttled by Hillsborough. Sectional semifinal.
A lot of people were throttled by Hillsborough that
Yes, they were.
In that era.
All but one.
Yeah.
All but one. I don't remember who beat him in the Super. You probably do.
I don't remember. That's
You're 30-0.
Yeah.
Well. Smoked us. I know that.
They smoked a lot of people. Elsewhere around the area last night, Greenville gets a little bit of revenge at the hands of the Hilltoppers. Of course, these teams kind of traded off wins earlier, but the Comets win it last night 48-45 in a game at Greenville. Nokomis beat Staunton 51-24. Gillespie down Mount Olive 56-40. Roxana beat Carlinville 50-33. Carlisle over Pena 77-60. It was Pawnee beating South Fork 67-64. The Jacksonville Route Southwestern game was postponed because of the weather situation last night. So that's how our teams around the area fared.
We had a big night on Thursday.
Yeah, we had
a great girls doubleheader on Thursday night as Litchfield went into Carlinville and beat the Cavies. Southwestern went into Hillsborough and beat the Toppers. And that was a situation where it was four of the top five teams in the South Central Conference and a lot of one or two seeds in the regional as well.
Well, everybody was at least a one, two, or three on that night. And that's, you know, down the stretch, we've got some great games on the radio. We're going to have some great games on the radio. But when you see two quality teams hook up like that and have a doubleheader on the radio at night, that's pretty special. And you had that Carlinville team, we know that they were – are a very good team, and to hook up with against Litchfield, that had to be a battle royale.
Oh, it was a great game. It was basically one or two points the whole ball game. And a week ago, of course, Carlinville had a thrilling win in the Macoupin County Final against Southwest. We'll talk about that in a minute. But in that ball game, Megan Staten went diving into the bleachers at Bunker Hill. It was nasty looking. She popped right up, but apparently she really did get hurt. I guess she has like a massive, like basically her whole leg is bruised.
Wow.
And like she was hobbling around. She played on Tuesday, I guess. Probably shouldn't have played. Yeah. Played the other night. You could tell she wasn't moving with the same mobility she normally does. So if they can get her back 100% healthy, the Cavies will definitely be moving in the right direction.
And Cavies got the number one seed at the Painter Regional. Right. So that, you know, testament to their success this year to be a number one seed at Painter.
Jerry, we were talking about at the Macoupin County Tournament, the best boys finish I can remember is when Burton won it on the dunk the last year of Girard. Well, that finish between Carlinville and Southwestern, that's, to me, going to be on the short list of the greatest finishes in the history of the girls' county tournament. Southwestern misses a free throw, up one. Darren doesn't call a timeout. They had just put this play in the morning shoot-around.
Really?
Just put in the morning shoot-around. Oh. Darren says, I'm just going to yell, run your play.
Yeah.
He yelled that. The rest is history. Marley Schmidt down the floor, the young sophomore, banked it in, and the Cavies won. What a scene.
It's always good when you take the ball to the hole.
That's exactly
you know,
right.
Good things tend to happen. And generally, late in the ball game, you know, the officials really don't want to have to decide it. So they say they sometimes will, you know, if you go in strong, it's always good. So, and then my game, I had Hillsborough Southwestern. What a great matchup that was. Hillsborough jumped out to a 10-0 lead. The Birds just calmly came back, took a 13-12 lead. It was back and forth and back and forth. Hillsborough tied it, I think, right at the buzzer at the end of the first half. It was a close ball game for most of the third quarter. Then the Birds, you know how they sneak out just a little bit, you know, and then they'll cause a couple of three turnovers, and then Hillsborough have trouble getting the ball inbounds, and all of a sudden it's a 9-10 point lead, and that's what the Birds ended up winning by somewhere in that vicinity. So it was a great ball game too.
And I would think that Southwestern learned a valuable lesson in that county final. Younger team, and they it looked like they had that game sewn up. The last 3 minutes were very un-Southwestern like.
Well, and I talked to Steve a little bit, Steve Woolley, the head coach of Southwestern, on Thursday night a little bit before ball game. He says, you know, every team when you play 4 months throughout the year,
you're going to have a stretch.
You're going to have a stretch where you just don't play well. And he says, that happened to us at Macoupin County. He said, that's not to take anything away from Carlinville. You know, they deserved the win. They got the win. And he says, we just didn't play very well. So we're looking to try to regroup here going down the stretch. But I think they've regrouped.
I think so. And especially in that tournament, Southwestern gets everybody's best shot.
Oh, well,
every single game,
you know, that's the
every
game
single
you circle
year.
On the calendar for every team they play,
and especially for a young team like they have that's basically sophomore laden this year. That, you know, that's a hard thing to adjust to. That, you know, for us it's a game; for the other team, it's the game.
Right. And Coach Woolley addressed that. He says, you know, I've gotten so used to them doing such great things that I forget sometimes they're very, very young.
He was a victim of his own success.
Yeah, that's basically what he was saying, as a victim of his own success. And he says, you know, sometimes they're going to do sophomore things, and they do. And that's part of sports. But, you know, that's why you have a midseason tournament, one of those benchmarks of the season, and then you get ready for the postseason. And of course, Southwestern gets the number one seed at the Hillsboro Regional Tournament, Litchfield number two.
What a regional that's going to be.
Oh, my God.
Goodness gracious.
You want to go over the regional a little bit here? Let's talk about the girls. The pairings have been announced now by the IHSA for Class 1A and 2A. In 2A at Hillsboro, Southwestern gets the number one seed, Litchfield number two, Hillsboro three, Gillespie four, Staunton five. So they'll open up on Monday night, February 10th. That's a week from Monday, believe it or not. Where did this season go? On Monday night, Gillespie will take on Staunton in the play-in game, and then Wednesday night, the 12th, we'll have the doubleheader for the semis. Southwestern gets the winner of Gillespie-Staunton, then Litchfield-Hillsboro in the second game, and they'll play a championship on Thursday. At Pena, Carlinville gets the number one seed, Waverly number two. That's the Waverly-Franklin-New Berlin co-op program, and boy, they've been very good for a long time since they put that co-op together. Auburn is third, Pena fourth, North Mac fifth, so Pena and North Mac play on that Monday night. Wednesday night we'll have the semis with Carlinville taking the winner, taking on the winner from Pena North Mac, and then Waverly and Auburn in the second contest. In the other matchup here, let's see, that's 1A. Here's 2A.
A lot of brackets.
At Vandalia, T-Town. There's a shock.
Huh.
T-Town gets the number one seed, but Greenville number two. And you know, I wouldn't be shocked if the Comets come away and win this thing. T-Town, as good as they are, Greenville has a terrific girls' basketball team this year. Newton and Vandalia play on the opening night. Then on Tuesday, T-Town gets the winner of Newton Vandalia. Greenville takes on Flora. They'll have the championship on Thursday, so good luck to the Lady Comets. And then in 1A regional play at Calhoun, and there's a tough place to play.
Oh, yes.
Tough place to get to. Tough place to play. Bunker Hill and Mont Olive will open up play on Monday night. Calhoun got the number one seed, deservedly so.
Yes.
Carrollton number two, Mont Olive three, Bunker Hill four, Brussels five, Greenfield six. So Bunker Hill plays Brussels on that Monday night, followed by Mont Olive against Greenfield, and then the winners move on to the semis.
And Calhoun probably a legitimate state contender in 1A.
I don't think you'll find an argument for many people
they
who
are
played them.
Big.
They are big, and they are good, and they seem to score at will.
Yeah. Well, I remember last year they played Bunker Hill in the regional final at Bunker Hill. Calhoun won it, and I remember talking to their coach, who shockingly is a ballman. Before the ball game, you know, they had like three or four ballmans on the team. You know, one of them was a freshman, so I'm talking to him about that. And he's like, the best one's in eighth grade. Are you kidding me? Well, she's a freshman now.
No, she's a freshman now. Yeah. Wow. They just, the ballmans, that's one of those names, you know, where certain towns have certain names, and that's one for Calhoun. Nokomis is at home in the regional and girls 1A. The Lady Redskins get the number two seed behind Central A&M. I think they met earlier this year, and A&M got him. But they'll get the top seed, Nokomis number two, and play begins on Monday night with Pawnee against South Fork, and then on Tuesday night the semis. Central A&M gets the winner of Pawnee, South Fork, and Nokomis will take on Cowden, Herrick, Beecher City, a team that was a perennial participant in the state tournament before the young lady graduated. Micah graduated from Beecher City, or Cowden Herrick. So
it really seems like Nokomis has hit their stride. They seem to be playing their best basketball of the year.
Yeah, I tell you what, it wouldn't shock me that Nokomis wins that regional. Not at all. Worth 10 points on your home floor.
We got the potential to be very busy come sectional week.
I hope so. I hope we got people all over creation. So should be a fun week, and of course we'll start our broadcast schedule, get it all posted for you. And the neat thing about it is, this time of year in the postseason, this is when the internet comes in really handy, because a lot of people, and I have access to the numbers once in a while. You'd be shocked at the number of people that listen on the internet, and quite frankly, we don't really promote it a whole lot. I mean, just to mention now and then, but there's a lot of people, especially during the postseason, And we have a particularly strong group of people in Quincy for some reason.
Quincy, huh?
Quincy, yeah. In the state. But I mean, it's from all over the world.
Yeah. I've seen those before too. It's impressive.
It's pretty cool. So yeah, we'll get those broadcast schedules out. You can call your family and friends who live outside the area and listen on the internet.
Just add on to the great sports year we had.
Oh yeah.
Well, it's been a great year.
It's not even close to being over.
No, not at all. I think we are in for a lot more basketball.
Yeah.
It seems that way. And we got some more basketball for you tonight. Oh. Following the Fighting Illini in Iowa, Litchfield and Hillsboro girls. About 9 o'clock tonight, we'll bring the broadcast to you here on FM 106. But Terry, you just mentioned, they're going to be squaring off in the regional coming up in a couple of weeks, too. So that's just yet another dynamic to tonight's matchup.
Well, it's Hillsboro Litchfield. It doesn't make any difference if you play 1,000 times or just once a year. You're going to have that Hillsboro Litchfield dynamic, and that's what really makes it a lot of fun. I understand it's going to be the breast cancer awareness night game, so the pink game tonight. So,
and obviously you want to win every game you play. But if I'm Litchfield and I've got to play Hillsboro twice on their home floor
within a span of about 10 days,
are you going to beat them twice on their home floor? Maybe you will. I don't know, but, you know, I'd be a little leery about tonight's game, you know. Maybe ride the A, watch your rest. Sit down for a little while.
Second consecutive year they've met three times
in
the season.
Oh, there have been years they've met four times, so and the boys' team as well, so that's not unusual. But
it happens. Mm. It's always fun when it does happen.
Well, I tell you what.
But when they get
– about a crowd, they will be wound up tonight.
But when you get them, when you get those matchups condensed in a short amount of time – it's always interesting.
Well, and I think there are times, and perhaps, Tim, maybe you can help me speak to this, and Dave, you too. As seniors, sometimes it kicks in late in the season, like, gosh, we don't have many games left.
Yes.
And maybe things, your perspective changes a little
bit. Usually about the middle of January.
Yeah.
When that realization.
County tournament time.
Usually about the county tournament usually hits you like, it's getting down to it.
Yeah. You know, what sort of legacy am I going to be able to leave with this team?
And then when you get to senior night, your last home game, all those different things.
Mm-hmm. And then everybody starts over at 0-0 in the regionals.
That's exactly right.
And that's the great thing. And there are a lot of tournaments. And remember, you can't have a real tournament unless you have brackets.
Got to have brackets.
But the great thing about the tournament is it's single elimination. You got to bring your best every night to move on, to survive and move on. And that's what really makes the tournament special, I think. So
to be the best, you got to beat the best.
There you go. Yeah.
And when it gets down to it, the seeds really don't matter. Just the difference of, are you going to play a team in the semifinal or in the championship if you get there?
And so many times we've seen over there, who's hot?
Right.
Who's playing the best at the end of the year? That's where the seeds don't really matter sometimes.
Yeah.
Be hot at the right time.
Oh, yeah.
And have the right draw. That is what it comes down to more times than not.
And the Illini have not been hot.
No.
They've looked like a very young team that is struggling, I think, with confidence right now.
They have not won a game since we were out at Cranny Mac.
Yeah.
They beat Penn State that day and haven't won since.
Haven't won since. It's been a while. So.
Don't know if they'll win today.
Yeah.
Their next two games, Iowa and then Wisconsin again.
That didn't go well the first time.
No.
But look at it this way. It can't go any worse when they play Wisconsin the second time.
No, that's true.
Well, and Wisconsin has lost a few games since then, too.
And again, this is a team that's young, that's building, that's getting experience that at the Big Ten level. I didn't know that they would be in this kind of a slide right now, but I didn't really expect them to be, you know, anything over 500 in the Big Ten Conference this year. So
I thought they could go 500 in the league. That would be fabulous.
That would be fabulous.
I certainly
that
they, would.
And they still might get close to
they
it.
They might. Yeah. But I definitely didn't think they would lose six in a row. I think six in a row might be seven, like they have.
What really hurt them was the losses to Purdue and Northwestern, because nobody saw that coming. And you knew you had this five-game stretch of tough opponents, but when you lost those two before the five-game stretch started, that's when it really started.
Northwestern has surprised a lot of people.
They've done really well.
Chris Collins has done a nice job of
it. They just won at Wisconsin the other
day. Yeah. So watch out for Northwestern.
At Wisconsin?
At Wisconsin.
Do you think maybe Northwestern will be a powerhouse in basketball?
Well, it's possible. I'll tell you this, because Chris Collins, the Northwestern formula, very similar to Duke.
Yeah.
High academic standards, private institution. So, I mean, he understands and knows where to find the type of basketball player that will fit the university.
And he was an assistant.
And he was assistant
for Coach K.
Right. So I mean, he knows what he's looking for. Yeah, so yeah. He very well might.
That might
turn
be
it into a power.
That might be the perfect fit for Northwestern.
It might be.
Yeah.
Might
be. Purple's a sister to the color blue.
You know, Northwestern and powerhouse don't normally go in the same sentence, but
not unless you're talking academics.
Yeah. Then they're like at the top of the list.
And journalism.
Yes. We need to get to a break here on Sports Saturday. We're back with more in just a moment.
Be creative. Impress your Valentine with breakfast in bed, made with fresh farmer-owned Prairie Farms dairy products. Start with an omelet made fluffy with Prairie Farms half and half. Fresh croissants smothered with sweet, creamy butter. Help your Valentine wake up with hot coffee with Prairie Farms cream. Treat your Valentine to yogurt-dipped strawberries. Top this special meal with a crystal goblet of 100% pure Prairie Farms orange juice. Taste the homemade goodness of Prairie Farms.
Need a car? Can't get financing? Auto Sales of Illinois is the area leader with on-the-spot in-house financing. But if you don't want a monthly payment, Auto Sales of Illinois has the Cash Corral, with cars and trucks priced from $2,000 to $4,000. If you need transportation on a budget, Auto Sales of Illinois delivers more for less every day. Walk in, drive out at Auto Sales of Illinois, next to the tracks on Route 16 in Litchfield.
The Village of Raymond invites you to the grand opening of the new Dollar General store today. The first 50 shoppers at the store will receive a $10 Dollar General gift card, and the first 200 shoppers will receive a free Dollar General tote bag. And while you're in town, drive around, see what else the Village of Raymond has to offer. Raymond is a great place to live, and the new Dollar General is just one of the great places to shop. See you today at the grand opening of the new Dollar General store in Raymond.
And at 9:45, let's take a look at the weather forecast brought to you by CarQuest. In Carlinville and Jacksonville, you'll find it at CarQuest. Cloudy skies for today. There is a chance for a mix of rain, freezing rain, and sleet. Expect a high today in the upper 30s. Partly cloudy skies and colder for tonight. There is a chance for snow, sleet, and freezing rain. We'll have a low tonight in the teens. Heading into Sunday, partly cloudy skies and colder. We'll have highs in the low 20s. Keep in mind now, a winter advisory is in effect until 6 o'clock tonight. So if you're out and about, please be careful. Extended look at the forecast Monday through Wednesday. Partly cloudy skies, it will be colder with snow likely on Tuesday evening. Expect highs in the low teens. The lows will be around zero. At 9:46, we have a temperature reading of 37 degrees. And the weather forecast is brought to you by CarQuest in Carlinville and Jacksonville. You'll find it at CarQuest. Sports Saturday continues right after this.
From auto and home insurance to financial planning, from education to retirement, Country Financial doesn't want to make your decisions for you, just support them in the best way possible.
You can grow your own way.
Just call my dad, Alan Pogenpohl, your country agent in Raymond.
Hello, I'm Melissa Van Giesen, certified licensed athletic trainer at Teamwork Rehab. If you have a sport-related injury, come see us at Teamwork Rehab. We provide athletic training services to all local area athletes, keeping them safe, healthy, and in the game. Teamwork Rehab offers free injury screening to all athletes and weekend warriors. Don't suffer with an injury. Give us a call at 532-4160 to make an appointment at one of our three convenient locations in Litchfield, Hillsboro, and Nokomis. Trust Teamwork Rehab, a division of Hillsboro Area Hospital, to get you back in the game.
Since 1899, four generations of Huffs have been dedicated to serving families in Central Illinois. Today, they continue that tradition of compassion, personal attention, and professional service that started long ago. The Huff family has always tried to place the needs of their families first, to provide them the information to make wise decisions at such a delicate time in their life. Today, Dan and David Huff continue this family tradition. Huff Funeral Homes in Raymond, Farmersville, and Hillsboro, you do have a choice.
And at 9:48, Sports Saturday continues. Once again, here's Tim Mize, Terry Tote, and David Jenkins.
Well, we have an opportunity. We've got some IESA boys 7th grade basketball postseason tournament stuff to talk about in Class 7-3. 3A. This is the 3A class. Hillsboro won the regional the other night. Auburn won the Southwestern regional. So at Southwestern coming up on Wednesday evening, Hillsboro will take on Auburn in the 7th grade boys sectional. And, of course, the winner there will move on to the quarterfinal round of the state tournament. In 2A, Nokomis beat Lincolnwood at the Ramsey regional. So now Nokomis will take on Effingham St. Anthony. And that sectional will be at Lincolnwood on Wednesday night. I think the game times are 6 o'clock. So good luck to our area teams. We had some success at the girls' junior high. Who knows, we might have some success at the boys' junior high.
Getting to be an annual thing, pretty much.
Yeah,
matter the sport. Pick a sport, any sport.
The officials at the IESA, they kind of assume we're coming.
And they know you by name.
Yeah.
You're like Norman Shears whenever you walk into an IESA event.
Well,
hey, it's you again.
Hey, yeah, WSMI's here. Nobody else ever shows up, but WSMI's here. So, that's what we do. You know, we do what we do. So, and believe it or not, the first Cardinal broadcast is 4 weeks from today.
That is staggering. That is truly
pitchers
staggering.
And catchers report on the 12th.
That is welcome. That is welcome because that means warmer weather.
They were
coming.
Passing out the Cardinal calendars here yesterday, and I was just, you know, looking at it. It was just kind of taking me back, reminiscing about last year and just how exciting of a year that was to be a Cardinal fan.
That was
good stuff.
And a different look this year to the Cardinals.
Yes.
And
there's a photo in that calendar of game one of the NLCS when Mark Ellis collided with Yadier Molina at home plate and now they're teammates.
That's right.
Yeah. So, all right.
And the funny thing is, Ellis was technically safe.
As long as the catcher holds onto the ball,
replay coming into baseball this year, that'll be a challengeable play. But if that gets reviewed, aren't they going to have to say he was never technically tagged, therefore he's safe?
Collisions are also being outlawed.
Fair point.
So,
touche.
Which I don't like at all, by the
way.
No,
but it is what it is.
It is what it is.
Yet they're going to let the in-the-neighborhood play stand at second base.
Right. Right. Yeah, you want to take something out. Get that out.
You know.
Yes.
You know, these people are apparently the highest skilled players in the world. They should be able to catch the ball and touch the bag at the proper time.
But that's all in the name of safety. The collisions are out for safety, and the neighborhood play is in because of safety. Another safety thing for baseball, they have unveiled the new pitcher, basically, I don't know, helmet cap? I don't know what they're calling it.
Yeah.
I don't think it's a helmet. It's
protective hat.
Yeah.
Protective hat, hard hat.
It's more just in the padding in the hat, I think.
Yeah.
Well,
good for Major League Baseball to take a step in that direction.
Oh, sure,
you know,
sure.
Because they're not making it mandatory.
Mm-hmm.
Pitchers will have
the
option.
Yeah.
Right. Once they get the technology
Once they come up with some sort of Kevlar design that's, you know, fits tighter to the head or something, they'll probably, you know, say, okay, 2 or 3 years down the line, we're going to make it mandatory.
Well, they'll make it mandatory in the minor leagues before the major leagues.
And then, you know, it'll be a grandfathered thing. If you didn't have it, you don't have to use it. But once you're out, you know, anybody else that comes in, you're
like those hockey players that used to play with no helmets.
Yes, and
the goalies with no masks.
Goalies with no masks.
That's hard to believe.
I never understood that. Yeah. Like why?
But there was.
You know, they talk about the catcher wearing the tools of ignorance. I'm sorry, but if you're a hockey goalie and say I don't need a mask, you're a fool.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, but they did. They did.
I know they did.
Too many pucks.
The pitcher's helmet thing, is that kind of like what John Olerud used to wear?
No, that was an actual batting helmet. That didn't have any ear flaps.
This is protection underneath the cap, so the cap actually sits is a little bit bigger than normal. But and the thing of it is, it's a situation where, you know, some of the star pitchers are going to have to step up and say, hey, I'm wearing it.
I think I heard Clayton Kershaw said that he will try it.
He will try
His quote was, it doesn't look cool, but I'm willing to give it a shot.
Yeah. He wants to be around to spend his $300 million.
Exactly. Well, if anybody needs to wear it and protect himself, Clayton Kershaw is the one guy that should.
You know, I wonder, maybe one of the issues might be, how hot's that thing going to be?
You
get in the middle of July in St. Louis, 100 degrees.
Oh, yeah.
Is Adam Wainwright really going to want to wear that thing?
I don't know. That's a good point. My question about this year is, of course, there's going to be some tinkering with the instant replay.
Yes.
There's going to have to be. And I understand that all the replays will be reviewed in New York. So it won't be actually at the game site. It'll be stuff that's shipped to New York. What happens if there's a technical glitch and they can't review it? What happens? I guess you just go on, you argue, and the umpires will make the decision.
Is that how it's happening from New York?
Yeah.
I think it's from
New York. The offices.
Okay, I misunderstood that. I was under the impression that they're going to have an extra umpire on the crew.
No.
Okay.
It's all going to be back in New York.
I think that's better, though. minus a technical glitch.
Right.
It should run smooth. That's how the NFL should do
sure,
it, too.
Yeah. Number two thing is the collision thing at home plate. How will that change the game? And how are they going to enforce, you know, what's enforceable? What's enforceable? Is the catcher sitting in front of home plate waiting for the ball to come in? Going to be a violation.
See, and that's what I was saying.
You know, in high school ball, you can't block the play unless you have the ball.
If you're gonna outlaw the collision, you have to outlaw blocking the plate.
Right. Yeah. But what if the throw takes the catcher into the base runner?
There you go. See, that's what I'm thinking. What happens here if something's a little bit offline and you get the collision 6 feet out from home plate?
Right.
And it's not even at home plate, but you've got a collision 6 feet out from home plate. What's the call? How are you going to handle it?
Right. I don't know.
And that may be – it's probably going to be a situation where initially it'll be a judgment call and
– they're just going to have to play through it and take a look at it. And
there's already enough judgment calls in baseball. They don't need any more. But that's what I wonder. Like, can you imagine in the World Series, you know, the catcher not blocking the plate, the throw takes him up the line, the runner barrels him over, and they call him out?
Call him out.
Can you imagine?
I can't.
I mean, it's. I understand.
I don't care. You know how. I just can't see a game being decided like that.
Right. I understand. You know, like Mike Matheny's had a big role in trying to get these collisions eliminated, and I respect that. You know, from the concussion standpoint.
And I'm not advocating collisions.
Right, but aren't you getting more concussion type things from the foul tips off the mask than the? How many times does one catcher get ran over in a year? Three.
Well, and also
you play 162 games. How many times does Yachty get ran over?
When are we going to make hockey masks mandatory? Like hockey style catchers masks? Because there's a lot of guys who are still just wearing, you know.
But you know what? I'm not sure that the hockey style masks provide as much protection as you think.
No, but it.
Yeah, I don't know.
But
where does
on
it
the
end,
rare
though?
Occasion of a bat of a follow through of a swing, the bat could come around and smack you in the back of the head.
Well, that's true.
Do some damage
that's
there,
that's
right?
Point, yeah.
And you know, obviously collisions have been outlawed at the high school level for a long time, and they should be. You know, little league and all that. But to me, once you get to Major League Baseball, I mean, you're getting paid. Mm-hmm. You're getting paid a lot of money to go out there and put your body on the line and play the game. You don't want to just be reckless, but home plate collisions, that's just part of Major League Baseball. I just don't – to me, it's a dangerous, dangerous road to go down.
Such a fine line to navigate what would be considered improper and what's allowed, what's not allowed, that sort of thing. I'm really anxious to see how they interpret this early on in the season.
In May and June, people won't care. In October – Everybody's going to care.
September with the pennant races, they're going to care.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Not only St. Louis with the Cardinals starting up another saga with the, not to change subjects here a little bit, the Rams. Will they stay or will they go? Kroenke buys 60 acres of land out in L.A.?
Well, if St. Louis doesn't support them, they ought to go.
Dan Kroenke is a smart man. You don't get to be a billionaire without knowing what you're doing. To me, this is straight negotiation.
Yeah.
Because the Rams basically stiff-armed him and said, we're not giving you a new stadium.
That's right.
All right, well, here you go.
Yeah.
Well, it wasn't the Rams. It was St. Louis.
Right.
He is the Rams.
He is the Rams. Yeah, St. Louis said, you're not getting the money. Fine. So, right. Like St. Louis, you need to realize.
You can't provide the facilities that you promised.
Right. But St. Louis needs to realize, if the Rams go, the NFL is done.
Yeah.
They will never come back to St. Louis. No. You don't have two teams leave a middle market like St. Louis and get a third.
Right.
So St. Louis needs to decide. If you want to be an NFL town, you better step up. Because if you don't, they're gone. So is the NFL.
It's proven long ago they were not an NBA town.
Right.
Actually, you're wrong. Cleveland had three NFL teams. The Cardinals, the Browns, and the Browns.
Cleveland's a little different, though.
But I'm just not
people probably just point. Probably just felt bad for him,
right?
Probably.
But see, the difference there, the Browns are the Browns.
That's
the
true.
Rams are initially an LA
well,
team.
The difference is the Cardinals dominate the sports.
Well,
landscape.
St. Louis is a baseball city.
It's
that's
a baseball
the difference.
City. That's the difference.
That's the difference.
Cleveland, the Cleveland Indians,
and
do
even
not dominate the sports.
Even
landscape.
The Blues have a really large following in St.
And
Louis.
The dome as a whole.
Yeah.
It is.
Yeah.
It's a terrible place.
Yep.
To go watch a game, it's awful.
Yeah.
When the Rams were winning, you never heard anyone complain about the dome.
Well, that's just it. You're not going to win every year. But
Tobin, that was 15 years ago. Yeah, the dome wasn't that bad 15 years ago. Yeah. It was normal 15 years ago. Nothing has improved
in it. There's been no renovations. All right. It's a multi-purpose
center. A few renovations, but not much.
Have there been renovations?
A little bit.
A little bit.
A little bit.
But you can tell. Scott Trade Center is 20 years old. You don't hear Blues fans complain, oh, how much of a dump Scott Trade.
Because it's not. It's not. The problem with the dome is it's not a football stadium. It's a convention center that they roll a football field out onto once a week. That's the problem.
True. Don't the Blues?
The Scott Trade Center is a sports arena. It's built for hockey. It's built for basketball. Okay. Blues Stadium is a sports arena. The dome is not.
Right.
Okay. You know, they stuffed a football field in there.
It was a temporary fix that has lasted
way too long.
Yeah. Way too almost 20 years.
Yeah. But I personally don't think the Rams are going to L.A. I think this is Stan Kroenke. Yeah. He's playing poker.
Hey, and you know what? It's he can put so many other things out there by the forum in L.A.
And he probably will just end up selling it. He's going to flip it, make a bunch of money, and
probably
do
a TV show on HGTV.
He'll probably put a Walmart there. They need a Walmart there. Get a Walmart there.
Actually, that land was supposed to be used for a mega super Walmart.
There you go. It'd be the biggest Walmart in the history of America right there. Bam.
You could play football inside that building.
That's right. It's in the back room.
The sporting goods. There you go.
Hey, we are out of time on Sports Saturday. Again, Uncle Ralph gone at the age of 84. Gone, but never forgotten.
Never forgotten. That's right. That's right. Basketball tonight. Illinois, Iowa, 6. And then Litchfield Hillsboro girls at 9.
For Tobin, Terry, David, Tim, Sports Saturday is done on your 50,000-watt voice of Mid-Illinois, WQSMI-FM, Litchfield, Hillsboro, Carthenville, and Greenville, the station you can count on.